B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are at Beasley Media Group Station.
What up?
I'll tell you one thing, though. Isn't the world feel upside down? I was thinking about this last night and going, it's August 3rd, and there's wall-to-wall basketball and hockey.
Yeah, and I don't mind it at all.
No, I like
upside-down world.
Yeah, I know. I now that we're here, I love it that we have it. But I will tell you this, and it's sad. I find this, now, I don't know if it's because I'm in a bad place with the sport. I don't know if it's because we got no resolution from the NBA and NHL seasons. I don't know if it's strictly because I think the Flyers and the Sixers are way more interesting. But I'm checking out on baseball.
I mean, it's
terrible. And Phillies, Yankees, Gerrit Cole, like, I would have watched no matter what.
Right.
But, I mean, this bullpen is... It's absurd.
Yeah, you pull Arrieta, and the first guy that goes out there, Guerrero, goes out there and allows three runs on a shot.
Guerrero, yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. And your first thought was, here we go again, like with this bullpen. The ERA of the bullpen is around 9 right now.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's awful. And I know it's only been 4 games, but when you look at the names and you look at the arms, you're not.
Have no shot.
Yeah, you don't think it's going to be any better.
No. And then you go. And I'm checking out, and maybe it's because I've been angry at the sport for just doing things the wrong way. Now they're going to go, you sure tomorrow's 7 innings?
Yes.
I heard it might be 9, no?
No, it's supposed to, they implemented the 7 inning rule, so it should be 2.
Because the game was canceled because of
weather. Yeah, yesterday they made the decision, all right, it's going to be so bad tomorrow that we'll play the doubleheader on Wednesday. But for some reason, because of the schedule, they're playing in Citizens Bank Park. I think they will each be the home team for one game. So I think the Yankees will be the home team for game one. Phils will be the home team for game two. And I have to check, but I'm pretty sure the Phillies and Yankees are playing each other Thursday as well. So this is basically that 4-game series that never happened. Remember, it's supposed to be 2 in Philly, 2 in New York. It's pretty much that series that never happened. It's just that 3 games will be in Citizens Bank Park, but they're still each going to be the home team for 2 of the games.
That's weird.
Yeah, no, the whole thing's weird. The whole thing's completely bizarre. But you're right. I mean, like last night, or just yesterday in general, I watched basketball and hockey all day until 7 o'clock when I put the Phillies game on, but as soon as 8 o'clock hit, Phils went to the laptop. Because the Sixers take precedence right now.
Yeah, well, yes. But even, I don't know, are you in the rest of the league?
Yeah, I'm still paying attention.
If I give you rest, now again, it's hard because we're about to approach playoffs.
Right.
I'll tell you, if they do switch the seasons.
Baseball's in trouble. Baseball should become a winter sport, indoors only. Everybody should build a dome.
Yeah, it's in trouble, man.
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
It can't stand up to basketball and hockey.
No chance. I mean, I have not watched as much national baseball this week ever since basketball.
Well, they're also stupid because they don't put it on. You might flip more off if you had all day long Fox or
and this sucks for the Phillies. So they have the doubleheader tomorrow. The first game being at 4:30. But what's happening at 4 o'clock? You got Sixers Wizards. So you're not even getting the benefit of being the 4 o'clock game first. No, you have Sixers Wizards because basketball's playing all day long. And then come 7 o'clock, there's going to be bigger games. The only reason why the Sixers are playing at 4:30 is because they're playing the Wizards.
Yeah.
The more marquee matchups are still going to be at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Baseball is not a good spot right now.
No. It really isn't. It's a shame.
But here's the problem with the Phillies. Jake Arrieta pitched 5 innings yesterday. That means you needed 4 more innings. 4 innings at your bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, if your pitcher's giving you 7 or 8, and you go, all right, we can survive with Alvarez and Neris and Hunter, I guess.
Hector.
But when your starting pitcher's only going 5,
yeah,
because he can't go more than 5, sure, really, you're in trouble. You got 4 innings out of this, as you said earlier, dog meat. This dog meat bullpen.
It's terrible. God, it's terrible. It's a terrible bullpen, man.
And that bullpen's got to go up against the Yankees.
We get time yet on Flyers Cats? Thursday? Because I still see TBD.
No, I still got TBD too.
Huh. We're going to be broadcasting the game, man.
Yeah, I just checked the old Fanatic schedule. It's still to be determined as well. Yeah.
Let's go to Nick in Collegeville. Nicky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, you know, Nick's from Collegeville, but in Delco, it's pouring down rain. So,
be careful driving, man.
No. I got feet up, ass on the couch, and kagutz on my left hip here, drooling on my leg. So,
good.
Yeah. Speaking of that, any more poop on the door manifestations over the weekend?
No more poop. Hopefully the rain took care of it. Well, I cleaned it off, but
listen, you said your first caller said square peg round hole, and I wrote that down because it's the first thing I thought this morning when you were going through your summation of what happened last night. And BlackCurity.com in the street said the other thing I was thinking is every time this team's on offense, it's like a pickup game. It's just random movement. It's like ions in the nebula just randomly moving around in chaos and entropy. You know?
Ions in the nebula.
And it look, yeah, that's and every awesome. Saw you, right, you have the Big Bang Theory and it blows up and it looks like something for, you know, the Clippers game. And then the space dust just blows away. It's so frustrating, you know? It's just so frustrating.
No, it is. And you look at the offense and the way it runs and you go, this is just not the way it's supposed to look.
No.
Right? No. I mean, you got screen, shot, miss, ISO, shot, no, ISO, miss, screen, run out. You know.
Yeah, by the fourth quarter, you're mentally drained because it's just.
But what happened to their defense?
I don't know.
I think it's because of who's on the floor. And I granted, last night, Simmons is in foul trouble, but, I mean, their defense is tragically bad.
It's horrendous. It's horrendous. You said slap heroes. I mean, Brett Brown just, he loves and still loves the slop hero style.
He does. He
should
be coaching in Slovenia.
Yeah, just like the Olympic D, right? Hey, Chun, is their job open in your nationality? You're back home. Can you talk to somebody over there? Maybe we get shipped out early. You know, so look, Flyers and Sixers are in a semi-same boat. These next games, for the Flyers, it really doesn't matter because they can't do any worse than fourth, okay? But you want to look, we wanted to see what this team looks like. And so far, one game up, and they answered the bell, like I said yesterday. Sixers, they can actually move up and better their position if that's what they want to do. But you're looking at these games, but you're more concerned about what they look like coming into this bubble after the pandemic. And it's they're more erratic and just confusing than before. It's just and it's so sad because Joel and Toby.
They look great.
They look great.
They look great.
People have been getting on Toby. Oh, you know what? He scored 30 over the weekend, but they were. It seemed like he never scored, but he ended up 30. And Devonta this last night, sometimes he gets a nice stat line, but you don't remember him scoring. But at the end of the day,
But here's the thing. This is why I disagree with. You need his points. You need his points. He's played well. That's not. The fault doesn't lie there. The fault lies in giving up 120 points to the freaking Spurs. I mean, that's a garbage team.
Garbage team, man. I mean, look, at the end of the day, truthfully, I know it doesn't matter where you're drafted because Giannis was drafted 15th and really now he's the number one player in the league. And Tobias was ranked 19th. But you didn't get Tobias to to be your number one option or your last minute possession guy. You have Ben and Joel that are crunch time. You need a bucket. It's playoffs game seven. Somebody's got to make a play. That's who those guys are supposed to be. So don't look at Tobias and put blame on his shoulders. He doesn't have the ball the last few minutes, or when there's a key possession, you don't see him with the ball. Like you said, he's dropping 30. You gotta fill in 30 points to get to 100, right, at some point.
Exactly. So. But you said something just now that I wonder, is it just an exercise in futility? You said game seven of the NBA Finals. And I close my eyes, and there's only two guys that I think could be playing in a game seven on this team. Everybody else, I don't see it. Nikki, it's a great call. You know who those two guys are? Andrew?
On the Sixers?
Yeah.
Simmons and Embiid?
No. Embiid and Tobias. If I close my eyes and go, it's game seven of the finals, who legitimately, with the ball in his hands, or, you know, in a key possession, who legitimately should be playing?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's
'cause I can tell you right now, Simmons, no.
He'll clam up when it comes to the open shot.
He has disappointed me in the two games he's played.
Yeah, he's been bad. I mean, fouling out. Yeah,
he's been horrible defensively.
And he looks lost.
I blame Brett for him being lost. I do. I blame, because switching up in the 11th hour, this nonsense for a kid who doesn't belong on the floor in the playoffs. He just doesn't. Not in the starting capacity.
And didn't we just go through with this last year with the Jimmy Butler and putting the ball in his hands?
Exactly. It's this whole year, I feel like it's wasted. And there's nobody else in a seven game in an NBA Finals, like, you know, the men on the floor, and it's LeBron, like the ultimate NBA, you know, playoff alpha. Right, where it's leaps and bounds from that game last night is, you know, LeBron, right? And Kawhi and Paul George, right? Who belongs on the floor from the Sixers against them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you're right, it's Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid.
Wait, man, those guys, I can close my eyes and go, yeah. They're on the floor with them.
And unfortunately, I go, all right, well, Simmons will be out there obviously for defense, but he's been pretty bad defensively these two games.
Well, he's been terrible defensively.
Pretty bad.
No, he's played horrible. He's been completely disappointing. But I blame Brett for it.
Yeah, and, you know, shame on me for believing that it was going to change. Because last year, the Jimmy Butler thing, when Brett Brown decided in the playoffs, again, at the 11th hour, to make Jimmy Butler the primary ball handler, not Ben Simmons, it didn't work out. But shame on me for hearing all this talk from guys like Glenn Robinson and from Shake and from Brett and from other players that did Zoom calls. Shame on me for saying or believing when they said everybody's buying in to this decision to put Shake at the one. And maybe they were all buying in theory, but as soon as they stepped on the court, clearly there's a disconnect.
Come on, man. Chris in Pensauken. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, my man?
Oh, I'm swimming out here delivering clothes, man.
Oh, be careful, please.
And more, I will, man. Mortgages do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You got to grind. Can you get a message to Bryce if we play tomorrow night or next night?
Sure.
They just changed the rules. If he catches it with one hand behind his back, it's like wire ball back in Port Richmond, South Florida. It catches two outs. What a disgrace. That's that bastardism sport that I grew up loving that my dad can't even turn on the TV. Fighting cancer. He's 80 years old. He don't even want to watch it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
It's seven innings. Put Moss on second base.
Yeah.
Put Andrew in the bullpen. Come on, man. I get it. You know I can be grumpy at times because I'm good at it. But John Middleton, he's just getting away with just narcissism. Just that's by deception, man. He didn't sign those two guys in the bullpen, Andrew would know, because I heard over like $3-4 million. he brought in a bunch of stiffs and released them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah.
If I ran my business like that, that's like
they didn't want to be in a luxury tax. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like me saying, man, I'm opening up a new laundromat, but I'm not going to have any dryers.
Yeah.
Come on, man. it's insane. And I love the kid. I love Ben. It's my daughter's favorite player. But they're running the offense out there. But I'm looking at last night. I'm going, Sophia Murray, look, it's your eighth grade varsity school team. St. Pete's all right now. They're running your play. It like you said, it looks like it's on the corner like Six and Cayuga, man.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. And unfortunately, Elton Brand, I don't want to hear anything else, Ant, about nice guys. Unfortunately, you're in one of the most vicious industries around. And I'm a small business owner. So, you know, the world runs on small business. We're getting clipped every day because of this virus. So nobody said Anthony was a nice guy when they decided to change his time slot. No one I said, I was pissed.
Yeah.
I want to hear about Brett Brown being nice.
Yeah.
Elton
you're right.
Brand being nice.
No, it's true.
Calangio, they left all his people up there. It is a nightmare. It's like you finally got Moss to sleep, and you go back to your wife, you're like, he's finally down, baby. And I had a slight fever. Then the dog barks, he's up again. You're like, my God.
Yeah.
It's a bad
man, you are spot on.
I'm telling you, it's a bad Halloween decoration in the window with a flashlight, man. You just never know what you're going to get. And poor Ben Simmons, and I am saying poor for all you haters out there, it's obvious that Elton Brand and Brett don't value the kid bringing the ball up in the playoffs. The second year in the row, they took the ball out of his hand. So if I'm Ben, I'm pissed. I'm going, what's my role, man? Put me somewhere or get me moving. I want out.
Yeah,
that's what I would do.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I won't blame that kid.
He's got to help himself, though. And he's got, and listen, you know, I you and I see it the same way. He's got to help himself and shoot the basketball.
Oh yeah, and Andrew, I love you like a little brother, but you ask Ant, I hated the Horford. I wanted Brogdon the whole time, and everybody said, he's a restricted free agent, blah, 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 blah. I don't care if he's a Martian. You should have got him. Hey, Brett, get your head out of your ass and let's go. Go Birds, Ant.
Go Birds.
I remember Chris is one of the two callers that I talked to since the Horford signing that didn't like it from the beginning.
No, he didn't. And looks, you know, I understand. Listen, I love Brogdon too. You know how much I always talked about Brogdon.
I thought the Bucks were going to be hurt when he left.
When he was, you know, coming up, I loved him. I'm big. I loved him in Virginia. Like, so I love him as a player. But, you know, I remember talking to Elton, saying to Elton, hey, what about, you know, Brogdon? And he's like, dude, restricted. I don't know if we can get him, the whole thing. You know, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I think they liked him. But I do. I think they were sold on Horford with the idea that he comes in and he plays the minutes that Embiid can't. And he thought that they could spread the floor and it would work.
I thought it made sense.
You know.
But during the regular season, he has hit more shots since the return. It's only been two games, but... we saw Horford have the open look from the top of the key many times in the regular season.
Yeah.
And he just kept on missing. And when he kept on missing, that's what, you know, that's when you go, all right, wow, this signing was a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if he's not hitting those shots, dude, then you're not spreading the floor.
I mean, the first game, he's a minus 25. How does that happen?
That was awful.
How does that happen?
I don't know. But at least yesterday he looked a little bit better. I mean, he looked old in game one, right?
Yeah.
And he looked old Al Horford.
Yeah. He does. He looks old. It's amazing.
That's not good.
No, he looks old. I agree. I completely agree. Uriah in Morrisville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, cuz?
What's going on, Uriah? What's happening?
Hey, what a game last night. It was ugly to watch all the way up to the end, and I thought it was fitting that Shake hit that three. But any optimism when we were down by four with under a minute to go, I mean, any optimism I had was at the bottom of my beer mug. It was an ugly game.
It was. It was a terrible game. It was a slop-filled game. Think about it. I mean, the only player that San Antonio has that's really any good is DeRozan, right? I mean, Rudy Gay's 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad team. And you blew another lead. They gave up 43 points to that team in the fourth quarter.
And they didn't even have Aldridge, who himself is long in a tooth. But and that it just makes me question is it the pieces that they have that don't fit, or is it Brown's coaching? Or do you think it's both?
I think it's probably both, but right now more on Brett. Like, I do. Again, because we go back to how are they supposed to play? You're right. Answer me this, right? If you look at this team, shouldn't they be a great defensive team? They were seventh defensively during the regular season before the restart.
Right.
So shouldn't they be a much better defense? Shouldn't you play when you have that kind of length? Shouldn't you be more defensive oriented?
I that's a good point. And you said earlier, you were talking about Thibel and Thibel's effectiveness and how deflections and how he's starting to grow a reputation with these players where he'll pick their pocket easily anytime he's out there. So you would think they'd be better defensively. I mean, look at the Pacers game. TJ Warren's going off and he's sitting on the bench, Thibel. So that just makes me wonder, maybe Brett's rotation is a little whacked out. And he needs to make some more changes because Shake clearly is not the best defender as the point guard. But yeah, that's a good point with the defense.
Right. I mean, if you know that you need to play defense to win, why would you ever play Korkmaz, Neto, and Shake all those minutes?
Hey, look, Korkmaz is your first man off the bench,
right?
Or the second one after Horford? That's a problem.
I mean, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Thank you, Uriah. You're the
Thanks,
man.
Bud.
Be careful, all right? Out there.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, brother. All right. We'll come back. Andrew, once again, if A plus B plus C equals no defense, why would you play A? Why would you do it?
Very good question. I'll get Einstein on the phone for us.
Thank you. Cuz Radio Tune is 97.5 Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:30. Oh, it's crazy out there. Please be careful, guys. Please watch yourselves. We just saw a pretty big branch just get swept off of a tree, and it hit a truck in the parking lot. I mean, these winds are no joke. This thing is rambling, bum, 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 right through. It's pretty nasty. So please watch yourself. Our 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. It's amazing. Sometimes you become awestruck by Mother Nature's power. I mean, 2020 has been a terrible year. You almost have to laugh. It's like gallows humor. You got to laugh. It's crazy. Wow, just insane. We got Flyers back in action on Thursday. Sixers tomorrow. We'll let you know the time when we find out the Flyers time. So, again, Phillies are postponed. I think we were talking about earlier about the doubleheader, seven innings, which I really hate. The Sixers back on action Wednesday, and it's a 4 o'clock start against Washington. So, you know, that'll be the next test. All right, I need to talk to this next guest who is fantastic. You watch him break down the games. He is he's everybody's uncle. He's terrific. Love him on NBC Sports Philly, and he's just a part of the family. The great Jimmy Lyon, I'm the coach on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jim!
How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm not good, Jim. I'm not good. I am, thank God. Are you down the shore? Are you down the shore?
Yeah, I'm hunkered down here looking out at the bay, watching these
Oh, man.
These white caps smack into the boats there.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, you're the one to be careful. I'm in Ballykinwood, right? We're inland. You're right there in the heart of that thing.
Big time winds down here.
Damn. Well, watch yourself, Coach. We love you. You know that. Yeah, I'm not good, though, with this team. I hate the way they play. I hate the rotation. And I need the help. their defensive performance, and I know Ben was in foul trouble last night, but this wretched. These are bad teams. The Pacers... the Pacers are playing without Sabonis and Brogdon. You had this team that has one credible player in DeRozan and what's his face? Is it Rudy Gay's 1,000 years old? I mean, what are they doing?
No, I would have to say that you're on target, that their performance in these first two games has been underwhelming at best. But I think Coach Brett Brown, if he were sitting here with us or on the line with us, I think he'd be in total agreement with you. If you saw him after the game last night, number one, he said we were very fortunate to win, which they were. And he said, and this defense, when he was asked a question about their defense, and he said it simply will not get it done. You know, he didn't want to disrespect San Antonio, but he essentially said against good playoff caliber teams. And I would say that the fourth quarter defense in particular in these two games that he's dead on. You're not going to survive in the playoffs playing like that.
And you know what, though, Jim? I think it's rotation-based. Because I don't think you can play Korkmaz, Neto, and Shake and expect to be a good defensive or a playoff-carable defensive team.
Again, I think Brett would agree with you, Anthony, except I think we're what we may be seeing here, and maybe it was there and I didn't spy it. I think this bench is showing signs that it's problematic. I don't know that you have, you know, enough reliable, particularly defensive players. And the irony here is that, like, that J.J. Redick is not here. I think that was a defensive decision, meaning a decision that we love the guy offensively, but if we're going to go deeper in the playoffs and be a real contender, you know, we need perimeter defense. And that, obviously that's not JJ's strength, albeit he's a terrific offensive player. So it's a little ironic to me that you made decisions and moves geared toward the defensive end of the court that we're not seeing that come to fruition.
Yeah. You're so right. And here's the thing, and I don't want to, you know, completely, like, I don't want to be difficult, but Shake Milton should be, there's no way that Shake should be starting. It's not who you are. It's like an 11th hour desperate heave to try to do something. I know, he's in a tough spot because it comes down to Simmons and shooting the ball and being aggressive, but you know, by moving Simmons off the ball and inserting Shake, you're really bad defense. You've lost a lot defensively. Simmons looks out of whack. I don't know what you do, Coach.
No, I was not. And again, Ben Simmons is the type of player I think most people would be in agreement. You could play him at any position on the floor, given what his skill set is, and he's certainly going to be a good player for you. But I think most people would be in agreement that what he does best is play with the ball in his hands. And I think, this is just me now, you know, that too much is made of his inability to make a shot. Are there times when that, you know, could be a big deal? Of course. But the fact of the matter, he's played at an all-star level 2 years with the ball in his hands, playing at the point and not shooting from the perimeter. That surprised me a bit. I have no problem, as you know, I've said this to you before, I love Shake's run. I love the poise that he plays with. That shot that he made last night, given the fact of what he had done in the previous game, you know, which was the first game after a 3-month hiatus, that was a huge shot. And I think that kind of points out the demeanor of this young fella. And I also would point out on Shake's behalf, Anthony, if you have Shake in the lineup, you know he had one shot against Indiana. He shot the ball one time, and that's simply not who he is. If you have him in the lineup, he's got to be a part of the offense. And I think
yes, and that's why. But again, if it's me, that's why I bring him off the bench. Because
well, not necessarily. No, I'm going to say it a different way. What and who would you put in the game as a starter? Yeah, and again, you know, I have no problem with that.
I know.
But Matisse last night. Let me look at it. It's right here in front of me. Matisse was a -10 last night, and we had a conversation. You were saying about inexperienced guys at the defensive end, you know, they're less likely. How about fouling a 3-point jump shooter? That's the kind of mistake an inexperienced defensive player makes.
My point to you was, an
inexperienced player, being an offensive guy or a defensive guy, it doesn't matter. They're a bit prone to making, you know, mistakes that inexperienced players would make. And, you know, it's good. And, you know, I love Bible. He makes a lot of things happen, but he's sometimes a little bit of a loose cannon out there.
Yeah, but I agree. I agree with you. My only point in telling you that was, or saying that was, that was a terrible mistake. I agree with you, but inexperience can disrupt an offense way more, right? Like, and that's what I believe. I just believe that if you have a guy who is now has the ball in his hands, that's a big deal as opposed to a guy that will have some inexperience and foul 3-point shooter. You now have a kid with the ball in his hands in the most important time. I don't see how that makes good basketball sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to play out. We'll see. Yeah. You know, because hopefully Shake is, you know, more like the stable, solid guy he was last night than the guy who got himself into. And early foul trouble is a big deal. You saw how it affected Ben Simmons last night. So I think the fact that Shake got in early foul trouble in game one against the Pacers and that he wasn't involved offensively, if he's out there for 20 minutes, he has to have more than one shot. When you expect a guy, like he got an open shot last night to win the game, to his credit, he makes it. 6 seconds to go, down two. That's a big field goal. Watch. If he had not had a shot the whole time he'd been out there up to that point, are you going to expect the kid to make a shot then?
Of course not. Let's leave that aside for a second. We're talking to the great Jimmy Lynam. I close my eyes and I go, all right, caller brought this up. 7th game of the NBA Finals. And I start thinking, all right, let me close my eyes. And I see that we're playing the Clippers, right? And you got, you know, killers. George, Leonard, Beverly, like just nasties, right? And then I think about this Sixer team and I go,
yeah, well, throw Lou Williams in there. He's going to be on the court.
Right. And I go, who would be on the floor for me if I'm the Sixers against those monsters, those playoff or put LeBron, whoever you want. And I come to the conclusion that Embiid belongs on the floor, Harris belongs on the floor. I'm not so sure anybody else does.
Oh, you got to throw Simmons in there. Come on.
Well, but, you know, it's big moments, and I need you to play big.
Well, if he's not going to play big, let's be honest, Anthony, we may as well have terminate this conversation right now in terms of talking about, you know, who the Sixers are or what their chances are. I mean, Ben Simmons has to figure prominently into anything they do in terms of post.
I agree. I just don't know if he's there yet. I expected him, and he had a miserable two games. And I love the kid, you know that. I expect more out of him.
And you're right. You should expect more, but I'm not throwing the term miserable. The first game, you know, he was decent. It wasn't his best, I'll give you that. And last night, obviously, he was subpar, and you could see how frustrated he was.
Yeah.
But foul trouble can do that. You know, he never established the rhythm. He was in and out. But that you're dead on that you need a lot more from Ben Simmons than we've seen in these two games. And Anthony, let me point something out.
Sure.
These teams in general, right now, the offense is so far ahead of the defense, it's not even close. These scores are, I haven't seen the breakdown of the numbers after, you know, whatever, how many games, what the Sixers have played two. I think some teams, a couple have played three. But these teams are averaging over 118, I guarantee. I'd bet that. And maybe closer to 120. Somebody texted me late the night I worked the first game and said, Coach, six games today, all over the number. Meaning, you know,
Las Vegas. Yeah, yeah.
So it points out the defense, the pace of these, it's a little bit of, and I, whether the bubble is part of it, I really think it's conditioning and lack of playing, but it has a summer league, and they're very enjoyable, but a summer league pace to it of running up and down.
Yeah.
And as a result, you run up and down like that for three quarters, and now you turn as a coach and look at your guys. All right, guys. Now we really got to lock it down now in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it has a feel like that to it, except with some of the better teams. Like, I've watched Toronto, and they're a veteran.
Is Milwaukee one of the better teams?
Yeah, although they played the Rockets.
They were up eight with 3 minutes to go against Houston and lost.
Yeah, I mean, that Rockets team is so...
Well, I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah,
fourth quarter defense. The defense, my point, the defense is not what we normally would see or expect, certainly in for a playoff-ready defense. And obviously the Sixers, you know, are the leader of that pack right now. They've given up 40-plus points in two straight quarters.
And these are two teams.
You're right.
That aren't credible. Hey, listen, you know, the Rockets put 50 up in the fourth quarter against you. You know, I'm not happy, but I understand it. Right?
Well,
not these two teams.
The other night, Anthony, and this is also one of the reasons the offense is so far ahead, the Rockets took 91 shots in that game against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Take a guess if you didn't see the puck. How many threes, the 91 shots, how many do you think were three-point attempts? And you won't get the number. I'm telling you right now. Unless you saw the puck.
I didn't say it. I watched part of the game. Tell me.
Take a guess. Houston, I'll even give you this. 91 shots. Houston shoots the most threes in the league.
Yeah.
Give me a guess.
Yeah, 55.
You ready? How about 61?
Yeah, that's crazy.
61 of 91 shots.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Were threes.
No, I mean, it's insane. The Sixers shot 31 last night, 31 threes, and they made 45% of them, right? 14 out of 31. It's too...
Which could take every night of the week.
Yeah, but here's what I won't take. Is because that's not who they are. They're not a three-point shooting team. They're a team
that needs to win playing defense
and attacking the rim.
Anthony, but here's what happens. Would you give them that they did a pretty good job of putting the ball in Joel's hands?
Yes.
Okay. Would you then say the Spurs, who had, obviously they're guarding Joel Embiid with a fellow by the name of Poeltl?
Yes.
Okay, who's a decent NBA player. So as a result, what does San Antonio do? They double time after time after time and give Joe credit. He got rid of the ball.
He did.
Threw the ball out of the double.
Yep.
You have to shoot the three at that point. That's the whole point. And because you're getting wide open threes, you have a chance to shoot over 40%.
Yeah.
And that's who the Sixers better be if they're going to have a chance to go deep in the playoffs.
And listen.
And you may be right. Maybe they're not capable of making enough threes.
See, here's my argument is that, and again, I'm not saying you never take the three, and I'm not saying that, you know, it wonders collapse if Richardson is open, he shot eight of them. That's great. You got to take them. If you're open, he hit three of them. That's fine. Harris. But the problem is when Korkmaz is in the game, whatever he gives you from three, he'll give up more. Right, because if he's in the game, or Neto, that's the problem.
You're right, Anthony. You're right, but watch. That's not like we've never seen that before. I'll take a player, Lou Williams, who's a tremendous, as you know, late game offensive player. Come on, he's a little bit of a liability defensively.
Yeah.
That's true of a lot of great offense.
It is, but again, Lou Williams, can score at such a clip that he'll make up. I know you're not.
Mark Mazlou Williams.
I know you're not. I get it. Fundamentally speaking.
Shooting.
Yeah.
You need Cork Maz to be a productive 3-point shooter. And the fact that he is a defensive liability at times, which you're dead on, you're right, you have to somehow, you know, either accept it and or cover up for him. One or the other.
See, I cover up. You brought up J.J. Redick. Like, J.J. Redick, I can count on to hit a flurry of threes. Like, I can count on him more than I can count on a Korkmaz, because he's one out of every three or four games, he's going to hit threes. He's going to hit his shots. Whereas
Korkmaz is not J.J. Redick. He's not Lou Williams, but I think he's done a pretty good job. He's shooting just under 40% from three, and that, I think that's a guy doing his job.
Maybe I hold him up to a different standard. I guess my expectations are so different. I just thought by now that they would be they would look more like the Clippers and the Lakers and the Bucks, and they don't.
Anthony, I am with you. I did too. But I think I'm just sitting there with the computer on my lap, and you look at these bench names, you know, they don't jump off the page. Let's be honest. Yeah. You and I both like Matisse Thybulle, but come on.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to scare the Lakers or Clippers with 2 minutes to go in a 1-point game. We would like them out there defensively, but how about at the other end, if there's no timeout, the ball swings to him with 4 seconds on the clock? I mean, you know, it shows that they're playing with a little bit of a lean bench.
Yeah. Hey, what last thing, Coach. What about Horford? I mean, is there any salvaging Horford?
Yeah, I actually liked his play last night. He had a poor first half against the Pacers, and I thought he bounced back and played decently the second half, despite the fact that his number, you know, his plus-minus number was a disaster. But that's a little bit circumstantial, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
You're on the court with, the point guard could be throwing the ball all over the place. Last night, I thought he did a decent job. And
Would you ever go back to that five, the original five? Would you ever go back to that?
I wouldn't throw it, you know, out the window, to be honest with you. I think that's what this stretch is about. You know, six more games, and you know, you. I heard you earlier. You're dead on. They have to get some form of rotation, and I agree with you also that you have to be real careful of not having too many bad or subpar defenders on the court at the same time. But Al Horford is a solid player. We know that. That he's getting a little long in the tooth, yes. I'm just looking. I didn't know what his plus minus last night was, plus 17. So if we knocked him for being a minus 26, let's pat him on the back for a plus 17. And I think Brett did point out the fact that Shake gets that open jumper is absolutely related to the fact that the ball was in Horford's hands at the top of the circle in 3-point land as he's looking to dump it down into Joel. You know, you can't just give any said, Tom, Dick, or Harry a ball and saying, and I need you to deliver it to Joe. Well, you can do that with confidence with Al Horford. So they put the ball in Horford's hands, and he made the right decision. He saw Shake's man plug him way down, almost sitting in Joe's lap. So as much as he'd wanted to throw that ball to Embiid, no, Milton. And I give Horford credit that he had enough confidence in the young kid, and obviously the Shake delivered.
Yeah, I tell you, Coach, it's always great talking to you. You calm me down.
Yeah, well, you asked, your insights, I call big picture. You know, and I listen to your show. You're on target with a lot of your thoughts, and, you know, it motivates good conversation from your callers, and they offer a lot of good thoughts.
Yeah, they do.
I think the one thing I would point out, Anthony, that all teams, especially teams who are serious contenders, and we hope that the Sixers are. They haven't really established that to the degree that, let's say, the teams you mentioned, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bucks, you know, those three for sure, by virtue of their play, are more serious contenders than we really can definitively say about the Sixers right now. We hope they are, if they can solve some of these issues. And I, you know, maybe I'm a little bit of a of an optimist. I guess I am. But I like this team. I think this team has possibilities. But for the first time last night when I was watching, I said, this bench, I know Glenn Robinson mm-hmm. the third's not here. Mike Scott's mm-hmm. not here. But, you know, those guys don't move the needle enough. They're going to have to get it done, you know, with their, like you said, like Ben Simmons. Ben, we need you to be Ben Simmons. Because we're not going to get enough on a consistent basis to really move the needle from the guys on the bench.
Coach, you're the best. Listen, be safe down there, okay?
All right, buddy. Good talking as always.
Always great, great, great. Be careful, brother. We love you. Take it easy. Buddy. Jimmy Lyon. He's the best. Down ashore. Right on the bay.
Looking out the window.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's great. I always say, he's a true Philadelphian. Like, he's one of the... You look at Philadelphia in the dictionary, you hear him, he's... If I use Philadelphia as an adjective, you know, to describe Jimmy. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls right now. 610-632-0975. I will tell you, though, the long wait is finally over for golf's first major of the year. Finally, it's this weekend. That's right, PGA Championship. The golfers ahead in San Francisco to tee off and compete for the crown. There's no better way to join the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate golf's first major of the year, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering special odds and promotions all weekend long, and all new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 every day of the tournament. DraftKings Sportsbook is boosting your profits by 30%. All you got to do is opt in and place a bet. Head to the app right now. Check out all they have to offer, including player props, day-by-day action, even hole-by-hole live betting. As football season is clear in our sights, DraftKings Sportsbook has rolled out a season-long football pick'em pool. $2 million up for grabs. Make your picks. Watch the games unfold. Plus, DraftKings Sportsbook, safe, secure, reliable betting app. Deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code Fanatic when you sign up for limited time. All new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. DraftKings Sportsbook going all out. Sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Just enter code Fanatic when you sign up. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus, a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.